chances are you've heard of the Lincoln-Douglas debates of 1858. The series of debates between Abraham Lincoln and U.S. Senator Stephen Douglas launched Lincoln into national prominence, and he eventually became the 16th president of the United States. But what do you know about the conversations President Lincoln had with Frederick Douglass, the social reformer and abolitionist? This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. A play dramatizing those conversations makes its regional premiere this weekend as part of a double bill of two one-act plays at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. Joining me in this recorded interview to talk about the play called The Douglas-Lincoln Debates are playwright Douglas Myron. Welcome, Doug.
Thank you very much. It's great to be talking to you.
And one of the producers of the play here locally, Phil Paradis. Thanks for being here, Phil.
Thank you, Lucy.
Doug, talk about why you decided to frame this play as the Douglas-Lincoln debates.
That came on very quickly. Of course, I was well aware of the Lincoln-Douglas debates, and I've been somewhat of a fan or have learned of both men over decades. But I have created this debate where this conversation, the narrator is Frederick Douglass, and we are pretty much invited to see the whole situation from Frederick Douglass's point of view, which is kind of different. So that's one reason. So we see Frederick Douglass as the premier mover here. The other is just for that moment, whether it occurs 5 seconds after you read it, or the moment Frederick Douglass walks on the stage, because people commonly tell me, you know, it wasn't until the moment when Frederick Douglass walked on the stage that I realized this was not about Stephen Douglass after all. And then I say, did you have a conversation with yourself about why you made that assumption? So for all those reasons.
And Doug, describe briefly the relationship that President Lincoln and Frederick Douglass had. Frederick Douglass wasn't exactly a fan of Lincoln's during the early years of the Civil War, was he?
I don't think he would say he was a fan. He was furious. He also kept going back to thinking that maybe Lincoln would be the guy after all. But he was furious when Lincoln canceled the Emancipation Order of General Fremont. He was furious when they wouldn't give black soldiers uniforms. He was furious when they wouldn't act to stop the re-enslavement of Union soldiers. He was mad about a lot of things.
And that first meeting between Lincoln and Douglass was in 1863 when Frederick Douglass was still pretty mad. Explain the impetus for that meeting.
He was specifically outraged over the mutilation, murder, and re-enslavement that was commonly happening when black Union troops were captured by the Confederates. So that's the thing we know moved him to finally say, that's it, I'm going to go talk to Lincoln. He didn't have an invite. He didn't let them know he was coming. He only made it in because someone in the White House staff happened to recognize him.
And Doug, you, in your play, have that conversation play out between the president and Frederick Douglass, this towering orator. The next meeting happened at President Lincoln's request. Why did he invite Frederick Douglass back to the White House?
He had two stated goals. One was to have Frederick Douglass endorse him as he was running for president again, and it looked pretty dicey, and the chances seemed to be against him. So he thought he should get any possible votes that he could. Some states in the North allowed black people to vote, and he hoped that that would help. The other thing is he wanted to continue, you could say, helping with the Underground Railroad, though it wasn't officially put that way, but to have Douglass go behind Confederate lines and organize and bring slaves across lines into free country.
For the time, was that a pretty radical plan for the President of the United States to be suggesting that to Frederick Douglass?
Yes, and I do believe that depending on who got elected, if it had not been Lincoln, he might have been hanged for it.
Well, the third and final meeting between these two men was at Lincoln's inauguration after his reelection. He did win reelection. As your play describes it, the men had forged really a friendship by this time.
Yes, that was somewhat of a chance encounter, maybe not entirely, but Lincoln saw Douglass in the crowd. And in this instance, everything that was said was heard by other people. And it was not a long conversation, but he invited Douglass to come forward and said, I'm glad to see you. You were here for my address. What did you think of it? And Douglass told him, and he apparently, as Douglas was approaching, he says, I didn't mean to interrupt, sir. I know you're very busy. And he said, my friend, I'm delighted indeed to see you. I trust your opinion more than any man in the nation. So that's an actual quote heard by another people. I trust your opinion more than any man in the nation. Even for political hyperbole to say that to an African-American man in broad daylight in front of people when you're the president is a big deal. So it's, spoiler alert, a bit of a bromance.
Well, and a big deal because Frederick Douglass, I mean, he was born enslaved. He was one of the people that really felt what Lincoln was trying to do, and perhaps that's why he was so mad about some of Lincoln's early positions, right?
Yes, he was very, very angry because he believed that Lincoln was going to be the liberator we now know him as, but all of a sudden he seemed to be backtracking, including some technical things like suggesting the Crittenden Compromise was acceptable in his first inaugural address. And so Douglas felt very much betrayed. So he runs to Lincoln, not because he hates him, but he's trying to knock some sense into him. You know, isn't this what you're trying to do? And only gradually do they come to a meeting of the minds where Douglas feels that he is heard and Lincoln gets to have him sort of understand there's a pace at which these things have to happen, even though Douglas hates it. He's always go, 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 forward, 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 you know. But they do come to a sort of understanding and agreement to work together in what I think could have been interpreted as a unconstitutional or criminal plot by some.
Sure.
So they went a long way.
We're talking in this recorded interview about the meetings between President Abraham Lincoln and abolitionist Frederick Douglass and how they're portrayed in a one-act play called the Douglass-Lincoln Debates. Let's back up there just a little bit historically, Doug, because you're a lot more familiar with some of this history than some of our listeners will be. You talked about in Lincoln's first inaugural address how he said, hey, maybe we can do this, that, or the other thing that really angered Frederick Douglass. Tell us a little bit more about that. Give us some of that context.
Well, Lincoln had grown to prominence in Illinois on a platform where we stopped the spread of slavery. When he was inaugurated and other states were already leaving the Union, seceding, he said in his inaugural, in an effort to keep as many states in the Union as possible, that he would favor an amendment that would allow slavery to stay in the states where it already was. That was a backtracking, if you will, from the abolitionist point of view, because a constitutional amendment would be very hard to overturn and would most likely keep slavery in perpetuity. So rather than saying, I'm going to take further steps forward to bring the end of the slavery, he seemed to be taking a step backwards. That caused Frederick Douglass to start making plans to move to Haiti.
Phil, you first saw this play in North Carolina. You were telling me before we started our discussion that it was almost an accidental kind of thing that you stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
And you advocated very strongly for it to be produced here in Cincinnati. Why? Why did you want to bring it to town?
Well, first off, it's a powerful play. It's an interesting form of play that gets the audience involved on a visceral level by the end of it. And I don't want to give a spoiler, you know, I don't want to spoil things for the audience. But by the end of the play, as an audience member, I felt good. I felt empowered. I felt proud to be an American. I felt proud of our history and our great leaders like Lincoln and Douglass. And I thought this play, playing at a community college of benefit one night only in Morehead City, North Carolina, it deserves a larger audience. And I've been living in and working in Cincinnati for 33 years now. Cincinnati is a great theater town. So I thought it was just a natural. When I saw this play in North Carolina, I said to Doug and Stefan afterwards, you know, will you come to Cincinnati? You know, I think we have a home for you there, you know, if you're interested.
Doug, tell me briefly about the research that went into writing this play. I mean, clearly you are imagining a lot of the conversation between these two men, but what they say is based on historical records, right?
Yes, the topics we know they talked about are all included. Sometimes the conversation, which will sound like dialogue rather than people canting speeches at each other, it's dialogue, it's dramatic, it's multi-layered. So I take it by combining actual words they said at that time or in other speeches or declarations. They're all mixed in to put all these issues that they were probably talking about and put them in a dialogue that actually makes sense. If you didn't know any of the history or any of the quotes, it would still sound like fascinating dialogue. So to do that, it wasn't as hard as you might expect. I have read half a dozen biographies, I think a couple of Douglas, a couple of Lincoln, and two biographies of the two of them over the last 30 or 40 years. And I reread one of them as I was writing the play. And then, you know, I had history.com and Wikipedia open in front of me. So I knew basically what I wanted to do and what the events were. But then I would just double check the dates. I would look for a Lincoln quote about this or Douglas quote about that and find them in speeches or things they generally said and work them in a way that I hope is seamless, mixing in the Shakespearean style and biblical style they also both used.
Both such great orators, that had to be fun to put all that together. And you
It was fun. The most fun part I'm having right now is when we hear Lincoln's original accent, because both men spoke an American that neither of us today would be able to understand.
You mentioned this earlier, but you know, the Cliff's Notes version of American history that so many of us know is that Lincoln as the great emancipator, but his ideas about slavery were a lot more complicated and evolved over time. You talked about this Crittenden Compromise, but there were other aspects of what he considered over the years that were very troubling to abolitionists like Frederick Douglass. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
He favored having the freed Negroes leave the country. And he, in 1863, a month or two before Douglass came down, so I assume that was on his mind, and it does work itself into the play, told a group of leaders he'd invited that they should leave the country and that they were the cause of the war. So that really infuriated Douglass, and it does make one wonder. Interestingly, Lincoln stopped that project basically exactly the time Frederick Douglass came to see him, which I find kind of a tantalizing thing, and it's treated within the play. He accepted slave states within the Union. He made no moves at all against slavery, didn't say a word again about it, didn't say a word about the atrocities until at least 1863, 1864. So those first 2 years of the war, it would be hard to say that he was a radical abolitionist or a radical Republican or intending to free the slaves. If you really, really, really dig down, it seems quite likely that he was being a very astute politician with extraordinary control over what came publicly out of his mouth and out of his office. And if he wanted to say in this unbelievably difficult time, where 10 years ago only 5% of Americans believed in ending slavery, how could you get to the point where it becomes a constitutional amendment? Very tricky. It's hard to know exactly what path he saw in his head, but it worked.
And Doug, how did Frederick Douglass make sense of that when talking about Lincoln after Lincoln's assassination? I mean, Frederick Douglass lived decades longer than Abraham Lincoln did and had the occasion to speak of him and just the complex person he was.
Yes, he had many occasions to speak of him. The most famous was 10 years after his death at the dedication of the Freedmen's Memorial in Washington, D.C., where he starts by saying, look, Lincoln was not our president. He was not our man. He was the father of you, you white people. You know, but he, what he did for us, he saved for you a nation, but he brought us out of slavery, an hour of which was worse than all the injustices you had served that you rebelled against. So he comes up with a complicated way of looking at it, and it sort of admits that in a way it had to be this way. He had to keep the people, powerful white people, on his side in order to achieve this. So while it may have broken our hearts, we still believe that Abraham Lincoln was the man. So it was complicated. And the fact that almost nobody says this, you know, Lincoln's buddy in Springfield, who he loaned money to start a barber shop, was William the Fleur, I think is his full name, Black Billy, he was known. And that's where Lincoln would hang out after work. Lincoln had a third of his clients were black people, which was almost unheard of at the time. I think the word went out and the black community understood where he was ultimately coming from. That's my thinking. A lot of people could disagree.
Well, what do you think about this, Doug? How important do you think these discussions that you dramatize between these two men, how important were they historically? How do you think they changed President Lincoln's thinking or policies, or do you think they did change his mind?
I think they did. That's kind of a hunch. And it's really by scouring all the kinds of things that have been said about both of them over time and looking at the timing very carefully. And looking what Douglas was saying, Lincoln would almost never respond because he'd been accused by Stephen Douglas's of being Frederick Douglass's word I won't use. And it was not political for him to thank or acknowledge Frederick Douglass in public. But at critical times when Frederick Douglass would start going in on Lincoln about something, Lincoln would change his policy. So I do think he was the Jiminy Cricket on his shoulder that caused him to move even a little faster pace than he might have. But I think it made a big difference. And of course, then when Douglas went and raised black regiments for him, that was a huge help. Sure. Kept England out of the war, for one thing, and that probably was what decided the war.
Phil, this is such a divided time in our country right now, possibly not as divided as during the Civil War, I think that's fair to say. But does this story about the relationship between these two men hold particular significance now, do you think, in this political climate that we're in?
Yes, Lucy, I think it does. I think that's one of the reasons why I wanted to advocate for this play. You know, it happened 150, 160 years ago, yet here are these two great leaders, articulate, brilliant men, brilliant minds, at loggerheads at the beginning, but hearing each other out and learning where the other stands and finding common ground to resolve their differences, to understand and to work together for the benefit of the whole country, for all Americans. So I think it's, you know, there's such a great significance and resonance here for a teachable moment, if you will. And I think that you can't help but feel that with this play. You feel good at the end of it, and it's part of the message, part of the experience of this play.
What do you think, Doug? Is this timing fortuitous to be showing this play now in the political climate we're in?
Not entirely. In some ways, I think this play and these men have lived with me all my life, and this is one way it has come out. But I do believe in civil discourse, and I actually run a community discussion group that was where this play started from. We first performed it as a skit for the community discussion group, which is one based on civil discourse and bringing people together with different opinions. And I think one of the subtexts of the play is if you'll actually listen to the other person instead of yelling at them, then maybe you'll come together to a workable understanding or at least recognize each other's humanity.
I've been talking with playwright Douglas Myron and producer Phil Paradis. Thank you both so much for your time today.
You're welcome, Lucy.
It's a pleasure.
The play, The Douglas Lincoln Debates, is part of a double bill of two one-act plays showing Friday, February 28th and Saturday, March 1st at the National Underground Railroad Freedom Center. You can find a link with more information on our website, wvxu.org. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical directors are Ella Rowan and Marshall Verbsky. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.